The Binghamton Philharmonic celebrated its 60th anniversary during the 2015-2016 season. Fritz Wallenberg, his wife Marianne, and local musicians organized in 1949, we're told, as a chamber orchestra, meeting at the Jewish Community Center. Maestro Wallenberg was an engineer who conducted and played the cello, and Marianne played the violin. The Binghamton Symphony emerged through performing the great classical and large choral works, and later added one Pops concert per season. Performances were held at West Junior High School and occasionally at the SUNY Binghamton West Gym. The Sinfonette was formed as a chamber orchestra from within the larger group, and it performed in other venues in the area. Initially, rehearsals were held weekly, with none of the musicians receiving payment. Gradually, as the budget grew, musicians were compensated. The Binghamton Symphony Orchestra moved to the Forum Theater, the former Capri Movie Theater, in 1975. And in 1996, the Binghamton Symphony merged with the BC Pops Orchestra to become the Binghamton Philharmonic Orchestra. The Philharmonic began to call the Anderson Center at Binghamton University its new performance home. In 2002, John Covelli retired and a search took place for the next music director. José Luis Novo was appointed music director from a series of strong candidates, and he stepped down after 13 years. And now Daniel Heggie is there as the principal guest conductor. Today, the Philharmonic promotes itself as one of the oldest professional performing arts organizations in Broome County. All that we learn from the Binghamton Philharmonic website. The 2016-2017 season of the Binghamton Philharmonic will open tomorrow evening, October 1st, at 7:30, and WVIA's Peter Wynn paid a visit to the Philharmonic headquarters to talk with Executive Director Brittany Hall.
Brittany, you have a very, very ambitious program for 2016-17. You have 8 orchestra concerts this year. That's pretty good.
We're really excited about our season, and with the 8 main stage concerts, you know, we're just looking to reach more community members and looking at our season in ways of what appeals to our community and what they really want to come out to see and hear.
Well, you have quite a bit of variety. Well, of course, the opening concert with the lovely Brook Violin Concerto No. 1, and then the Beethoven Eroica and Rossini's William Tell. I mean, this is top 40 stuff. But then you go on, you have a lovely All-American program coming up, and you have, of course, your 3 holiday concerts. Tell me a little bit, what stands out for you?
You know, I think what really stands out for me in our program this season is that the first concert is the only traditional orchestral concert that you'll find with the overture, concerto, and symphony. Other than that, the rest of the season, we mixed it up a little, and we went with new formatting for the concerts, but it also lends itself to help us, you know, really choose music that we want to perform, and we don't want to be boxed in anymore, and we feel that the audience is really going to appreciate that. Other than that, the holiday season is by far the most ambitious thing that we've done in a long time. We're partnering with the Raphael Gregorian Ballet for the Nutcracker, and then the following weekend we have our Home for the Holidays, which also offers a family matinee at 2 p.m., and then following that we're going to close the holiday season with the Messiah and the Downtown Singers.
Of course, you have some really good soloists, Jill and Jake Gardner, for your Home for the Holidays concert.
We do. They're always fun, and we're so glad that they're coming back to celebrate the holidays with us.
They have a long history in Binghamton since they were with Tri-Cities.
Yeah, so we realize that the community loves them, and really they say Binghamton's their home. They met here, and they're just thrilled to be coming back to celebrate with us, and we're going to ask them to do some fun things as well. I know that Jake will be performing a song from The Grinch. And Jill, of course, will be doing Favorite Things, which is a classic song that everybody loves.
And then, of course, you do have a lovely All-American concert coming up with, of all people, your piano soloist, a former conductor of this orchestra, John Covelli.
Yes, so John's coming back as our pianist for the Gershwin, for the Rhapsody in Blue, and we are thrilled to have him. He has such a long history with our organization. It's great to be able to bring him back, not as the conductor, but as our guest soloist. He's a fantastic pianist, and this is the one piece he's really known for, so I'm truly excited to see this.
You have a couple of interesting Copland pieces. You don't really get to hear the suite from the movie Our Town very often, and then, of course, the more familiar Appalachian Spring, and then ending up with Gershwin's American in Paris. That's a pretty nifty concert.
It is, yeah. We thought that Copland and Gershwin paired well together, and you know, we were trying to figure out a way. John Cavelli's on the concert, and we wanted to celebrate Binghamton, too. So that's why the Copland Our Town came into play. And during that concert, you'll be seeing photos of Binghamton throughout its history, behind the orchestra being projected, and it's really going to be a hometown celebration night.
After the holidays, you have a very interesting concert coming up with a world premiere. Can you tell me a little bit about it? You actually commissioned this?
Yes, we are commissioning it. Santino D'Angelo is writing it for us. He is a local Endicott native. He's also known for writing musicals and other things. Right now he's at the Cider Mill Playhouse doing a play for them. He's coming in and writing a piece about Binghamton, and not to give anything away, but it might be about the carousels.
Yes, those carousels. How many are there? Seven of them or something like that?
I believe, yes. Binghamton has the largest world capita of carousels here. So we want to make sure that we're giving nod to our past and celebrating Binghamton and the region, really.
Now, one of the things I found interesting about this season is that you're performing exclusively at the Forum Theater this year. Is that a permanent change now?
It is a permanent change. Last year was our first season at the Forum Theater as our home, and you know, we're delighted to be back downtown and aiding in the revitalization for the city and giving people a real concert experience. So when you're coming to a concert, please have dinner beforehand, drinks afterwards, and make it a whole night.
I thought the other space, the space at the Anderson Center, was really quite nice, but the Forum is also has lovely acoustics there.
It does, yes. Both venues are fantastic in their own rights, but moving back downtown to the Forum was truly where our orchestra feels at home, and not only do we feel at home at the Forum Theater, but it also allows us to serve almost 500 more patrons than the Anderson Center did. And last season, four of our concerts during the season, we exceeded capacity at our former home of the Anderson Center, so we would have had to turn away patrons every time. So it actually allows us to serve more of our community members being at the Forum Theater.
Now that's a fantastic bounce back after you had to, what, was it last season or the season before you actually had to drop a concert?
We did. The Philharmonic, we've been transitioning, and that transition also had to do with union negotiations, and not getting into any of the specifics of that, but we have seen the orchestra make strides in becoming a more self-sustainable organization, and ticket sales last year were up 46%, and our expenses were down, so the Philharmonic is truly on the path of success.
How many orchestras in America can say that?
You know, not too many. We've made a lot of changes and faced a lot of challenges, but those challenges have made us stronger, and I'm proud to say that we've come out on top, and I hope that the community is recognizing that and appreciates some of those changes that we've made, because we really took them to mind when we were making some of these decisions.
Now, the orchestra is also in the middle of a search for a new music director. How are things going there?
Things are going absolutely fantastic. We have over 100 resumes in, and the committee, we're at the point where we're going through all of those resumes, and from what I've seen, we have some top-notch professionals wanting to come to Binghamton, so it's going to be a real competition to see who gets our next music director.
Well, you have a top-notch professional standing in as your principal guest conductor this year. Tell me a little bit about Daniel Heggie.
Sure. So, yes, Daniel Heggie is one of the best. He's recognized nationally as one of the premier conductors in the United States right now, and he has graciously accepted our interim position here at the Binghamton Philharmonic, which we're thrilled about. His family lives up in Syracuse still, so he feels that this region is still part of his home, and it's an easy trip down, and he is thrilled to be working with the Binghamton Philharmonic.
Well, you had a connection with the Syracuse Orchestra some years ago. Did you know Mr. Heggie from there?
You know, I did know Daniel from the Syracuse Symphony. He, however, does not remember me. During my tenure there, I was the lonely intern fetching coffee and helping them in their operations department. So that was many years ago. But he was the conductor while I was there.
Hey, look, you got to start somewhere.
Yes, absolutely, you do. And, you know, Syracuse was a great starting point for me. I learned a lot there, and it just set my career off.
Now, are you going to one of these days have a season where you introduce or bring in candidates successively and give them a little tryout?
Yes, so that'll be happening next season, and we will be announcing who those candidates are probably in the spring of 2017. So we'll bring them in. They'll each have their own concert that they're programming themselves, and we'll be asking for audience feedback. So if you're in the audience that night, make sure that you fill out the little note cards or give the office a call. We'd love to hear from everybody.
One thing that interested me, does the orchestra itself have any part in this search? Are they members of the search committee?
They are. So our search committee is made up of myself plus three of our board members, three community members, and three musicians. So we make sure that everybody has an equal say and is represented in the search. Not only are we looking for a conductor that is artistically talented and is able to communicate with the musicians effectively and run rehearsals and program, but we're looking for a conductor that wants to be part of our community.
How much of a role do the different groups have in putting together the program for a given year or the season? Are all three of these groups kind of involved in the planning?
They are. They're all involved in the planning. We will be giving each conductor a certain set of guidelines that the committee comes up with for next season. And most of the program, though, does rely on the conductors to provide it. We want to see what their skill level is, what pieces they might be bringing into Binghamton, and we really want to see them at their best. So we'd like to give as much room to the conductors as possible to do that.
As you say, you do have a lot of variety here. I'm looking, you've got a traditional concert, you've got an all-American concert, and then you've got the Nutcracker and the holiday thing, and then the Messiah with the Binghamton Downtown Singers and Marissa Crabb conducting, and then you get back, and this concert with the D'Angelo world premiere is interesting. You've got Haydn, Shostakovich, and the Schubert Mass in G, and then we move on, you've got Brahms, Mozart, Stravinsky, and winding up with the film scores, the Star Wars film scores of John Williams.
Yeah, absolutely. We have, you know, the best of the best, I think, this season. And like you said, the variety is there for our patrons. So we're looking forward to having everybody come in and experience this concert season with us, because it's full of something for everyone. No matter how you look, whether it's Beethoven or Brahms or Stravinsky or even John Williams of Star Wars, we have something that everybody will love. And I think what's special about this season is that every concert is something that you're going to want to be at. There's one piece of every concert that no matter where you look, you'll find a piece that's perfect for you.
If someone wanted to subscribe, what are the subscription options here? Can you do a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever?
Yeah, so that's something new that we actually initiated last season. We took down the boundaries between our classical and pop series. We wanted to make sure that the patrons were able to come to whatever concert that they wanted to or their schedule allowed them to. So how we do subscriptions is the more that you buy, the larger discount you get. So starting at 5 concerts is our smallest subscription, all the way up to the full series, including the chamber concerts. Choose any of those concerts, and then you get anywhere from a 10% discount up to the 20% off of your concert tickets. And of course, being a subscriber allows you to choose your seats and save them for the entire season.
Now, of course, if you were a subscriber, how many concerts altogether? And you've got 8 orchestra concerts, and what do you have?
Sure. So we have 2 additional chamber remastered series that we're running. We're bringing in Sax Voyage, which is a 5-person sax quintet. And they are located in Vienna, so we're proud to bring them for the first time over to the States. But their show is a little interesting because not only do they perform the classical repertoire, but they're also comedians. So it's going to be a fun evening, and that performance will be happening at the Doubletree in downtown Binghamton on a first Friday. In October, we're bringing Sybarite 5 to Binghamton, and the group is a crossover. They do a lot of classical music, but they also infuse it with some modern-day music. They just put out an album dedicated to Radiohead. So they're helping us bring in a younger generation to the orchestra and introduce them slowly to the Binghamton Philharmonic. So we're proud to have them here.
Really a wild season. Sounds like a whole lot of fun.
Brittany Hall, Executive Director of the Binghamton Philharmonic, speaking with WVIA's Peter Wynn in anticipation of the opening concert of the 2016-2017 season of the Binghamton Philharmonic, tomorrow, October 1st, at 7:30 p.m. at the Forum Theater in downtown Binghamton. The principal guest conductor, Daniel Heggie, will lead a performance of this great symphony by Beethoven, Symphony No. 3, the Eroica. The concert will open with the William Tell Overture by Rossini, and the concerto will be Violin Concerto No. 1 of Max Bruch with special guest Angelo Jean-Yu. And for more information about that concert and the entire season, BinghamtonPhilharmonic.org, BinghamtonPhilharmonic.org, the opening concert tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Forum Theater in Binghamton. Daniel Heggie is the principal guest conductor, and he will lead a performance of the William Tell Overture by Rossini, Violin Concerto No. 1 of Max Bruch with Angelo Jean-Yu, and Symphony No. 3, the Eroica by Beethoven. For more information, on the web, BinghamtonPhilharmonic.org.